know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting 3D. Oh, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Are you reading the walls? Did you get my clues? There's a debt to repay you for now. You'll do.
Welcome to Horror for Dummies episode 50. We did it. We made it to 50. I fucked up last week. I'm going to have to start the show like that. I said it was episode 48. In fact, it was episode 49, which makes this episode 50. We're halfway to 100. How's that for you? Now, you're probably hearing only one voice right now, and you probably put two and two together and realize that it's only me here today. You're stuck with me today, guys. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it's going to go. The reason being, now, I want to take you on a little journey right now, a little talk. Basically, the behind-the-scenes look on Horror for Dummies. So, the story is Ben has a job, a full-time job. This isn't, we don't sit here all day planning Horror for Dummies. Well, I don't. I mean, Ben don't. I do. But Ben has a full-time job in which he just got promoted. So, congratulations to him. The bad news is that he's going to be have to do more time at work and less time on the podcast, which sucks for us. But hey, you got to make them dollars. Hey, he's got a family to support, which left me thinking what to do with the show. Now, I'm not saying that Ben's not going to be back. He's going to be back. But there are going to be times where we won't have him. So I've been running around rampant in my mind thinking, what am I going to do? How is this show going to survive without Ben? Because quite frankly, I don't think I'm strong enough to hold the show together. Until I spoke to Mr. Darian and Mr. Cakewolf. Darian, of course, from the Padded Room podcast. And they reassured me that I'm cool. And I should continue doing things like this because I have a lot of people who like to listen to it. And that really reinvigorated my love for this podcast and what I was doing, because quite frankly I was close to shutting down and saying good riddance and letting it go. Luckily I had some cool words from some cool people, and they really brought it back, and so I thank those guys a lot. But it got me to wondering, what's the future of the show? How can I do the future of the show without Ben if Ben is going to be absent a lot of the time? So what I thought I would do is, and you would know that I watch a lot of horror movies. If you have me on social media, Facebook, I number each show, which I'm smashing Darian and Cakewolf at the moment, by the way. I watch a lot of horror movies, and a lot of the times I don't get to speak about any of them. We do the What's Under the Bed segment of the show, and I only get to speak about the one film per week, which isn't really fair because I'm watching easily four to five a week. So I thought on the odd weeks of Ben not being here, why don't I make a dedicated What's Under the Bed episode where I take five films and I review them. And we can do other fun stuff spliced in, who knows. So I'm going to be doing that. And I had that episode all planned out, all edited, ready to go. Until I went and saw a movie the other night, one that's just been released named The Predator. And as I was walking out of the cinema, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it a lot because there is a lot to talk about it. And as I was driving home from the cinema, I thought, you know what, I'm going to add my review of The Predator to the podcast. But then I was thinking, that's not enough. I love The Predator. The original Predator is one of my all-time favorite movies. And I just wanted to talk more. I wanted to get in depth with The Predator. So then I started to think, why not dedicate a whole episode to Predator, to the franchise? And when I say that, I'm not talking about let's go through each movie and say, hey, I like that, or hey, I didn't like that, because I'd find that boring, quite frankly. What I'm going to do is, there have been so much content on the Predator, creature. There's books, there's comics, video games, movies, you name it, it's been out there. And in these books and comics, there's been backstories and forward stories and every little story you can imagine. So I thought it'd be cool to dive deep into the Predator mythos and really get a look into the creature. Find out who exactly they are, where they come from, everything about them. And on top of that, then I wanted to read a lot of... I found a lot of material about the Predator, such as fan theories of the films, stories that people have written about what happens after a film ends and what happens to the Predator and stuff like that. There is so much content about the Predator. It's fucking unreal. So I thought that we'd dive really deep into the Predator mythos today. But before we do any of that, we must address the elephant in the room, and the elephant is the Padded Room Network, because we are proud members of the network, which includes us, Cakewell's Happy Hour, the Padded Room Podcast, and they're all shows that you should take a time out of your day to listen to every time they come on, which is weekly for the most part. Great, awesome shows, great friends, and you... If you're kind enough, if you want me as your best friend, then I think that you should go and give us a 5-star review. Because if you do that, I will purposely come to your house and I will hug you. Or if you want anything more, just whisper in my ear. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. But before we dive into the Predator mythos, let's talk about the new film. Now, I must add before we continue that I want to dedicate this episode completely 100% to Predator, to the Predator stories and everything like that. So, unfortunately, we will not be having listener mail or Ben's question of the week, all that usual crap that we usually have. No, this is dedicated to Predator. Yes, I'll be chucking in some songs, and they're Predator-related songs, and they're fucking great, I must add. But no, we're not going to be reviewing an album or anything like that. So, for you people that have waited patiently for weeks for our review on Tim Capello's newest album, hopefully next week. I hope for next week. So why don't we dive straight into the review of the newest Predator film, Shane Black's The Predator, huh? Why don't we do that? Well, I think we should start off by listening. I was going to say watch. You can't watch it on an audio podcast. Why don't we start by listening to the trailer of that film?
May we have a word?
Let me guess. He's done something crazy.
Show me again, I'm gonna break your neck.
Welcome to the Looney Bus.
McKenna.
Nebraska Williams.
That's Coyle.
That's Lynch.
With Merch.
Why are you here?
I don't think you believe me.
Come on, man. I had a run-in with a space alien.
Light him up!
This fucking guy is crazier than the rest of us!
The fuck was that?
That's the thing that killed my men.
Alien.
Guess who's back? It ain't a fucking question. Ain't no one think about when the presence of a living legend.
Predators. It exploits weakness, tracks its prey, like a game, seems to enjoy it.
That's not a predator, that's a sports hunter.
Well, we took a vote. Predator's cooler, right? Fuck yeah.
Do you have a plan? Ex-sniper with PTSD and a team that's mental? You're insane, right?
Yeah! Gentlemen, they're large, they're fast. And fucking you up's their idea of tourism.
Figured something out. I think we're gonna die.
Just pointing it out.
A big boy's a hunter. He brought his dogs with him.
I carry the retail. I can't lie. One shot, one kill. It's real. I ain't one shot if you September 14th.
So that was the third and final trailer of The Predator. And thank fuck, I actually didn't get a chance to see that trailer. When the first trailer hit of this upcoming Predator movie, when it first hit, I sat there and I watched it. And when it stopped, the screen was blank for a second. And I sat there and I was jaw dropped on the floor. And I was thinking, are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck is this? It looked horrible. It looked like shit. What the fuck were they thinking? Some little kid gets a fucking mask from eBay? Fuck out of here. But then the second trailer came on, and it was a lot more action-packed. And I was a bit more on board, but I was still hesitant. I was still holding back a little bit. And then the third trailer hit, the one that you just heard, and everyone sucked its dick. Everyone was like, yes, this is the trailer that we want. This is the one that's going to make the movie all right. This movie's going to be good. And I avoided that trailer like the fucking plague, man. I didn't watch it. When I say I didn't watch it, I tried my hardest not to watch it. I went and saw The Nun the other week, and of course they have trailers before The Nun. And there were two trailers that I was avoiding like the plague. The Predator trailer and the new Halloween trailer. And they both played at The Nun. I, for the most part, covered my eyes. But man, it's really hard. It's really hard to do that when you're sitting there in the cinemas, dark all around, and there's a fucking trailer for a movie that you're dying to see. Come on. But, luckily I didn't get to see the actual trailer, but from the audio clip, sounds pretty decent. But yeah, I went on a little movie date the other night with some friends. Paley, as you all know, we had my friend Blinky, who's been on the show before, and one of our listeners, Huxley. We all went to the big awesome foursome, went to see The Predator, and it was a nice night. I haven't been out with the boys for a long time, so that was good to chill back. But then the movie started. And look, if you have me on social media, you probably already know my thoughts. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about my thoughts. Actually, you know what? Sorry, let's talk about the plot. Because this is where it gets funny, right? Okay, so the plot is, from the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home. Now the Universal's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves from DNA from other species. When a young boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race. Now, to me, that sounds like absolute horseshit. That trailer's that plot's fucking rubbish. I didn't actually read that plot before seeing the movie, but if I did, I would have been so fucking upset. All right, so let's talk about the actual movie and my thoughts. So the film starts up with a little spacecraft fight that instantly had me thinking, am I watching Star Wars? Now, if you know me, you know that I'm not a big fan of Star Wars. It's not that I don't like it. I've got nothing against it. It's just not my thing. I'm not into sci-fi. I don't really get it. But for them to put something that resembles reminiscent of a Star Wars part in a Predator film, I wasn't on board. And then you get a little bit of action, but the editing in this scene is fucking horrible. Whoever edited this film, I'm going to say straight off the bat, should be fired and never edit a film again. He's not as bad as whoever edited the Resident Evil Final Chapters film. That was complete utter garbage. But yeah, too many quick cuts all spliced together. It just really made it confusing as to what I was seeing. But then the story continued, and I don't want to shit all over this movie straight away. I want to talk about the enjoyable scenes, the enjoyable parts of this movie, because I'm going to tell you right now, this wasn't a complete and utter fuckfest. It did have its redeemable moments to it. So let's talk about what I did like in the movie. And straight off the bat, what I can remember me enjoying was the characters in this film. I feel the characters were really fleshed out, really well done. You have you have a bunch of military ex-soldiers who, for the most part, were fucking hilarious. By the way, I should mention this is the best comedy of the year, The Predator. Yeah. So you have Keegan-Michael Key, who of course is one part of Key and Peele, who when that was released, I was so not on board. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? You're gonna make this into a complete and utter laughing stock." To which it kind of is, but that's not really my gripe. Keegan-Michael Key in this movie was a lot of fun. Then you have Thomas Jane added to the mix. Now Thomas Jane is, if you remember him, like he's been fucking in anything, especially with horror. I mean, like Deep Blue Sea, The Mist. He was the Punisher, and he was in the Stephen King 1922 from last year, and he's always played like a action tough guy, serious type of character. In this movie, The Predator, he plays a guy who has Tourette's, and he was easily the best part of this movie. I had a fucking blast with Thomas Jane's character. Sorry. For the most part, most of the characters in this movie were a lot of fun, and I really didn't want them to die. When they were fighting the Predator and all that stuff, I was like, please don't die, please don't die. So that's when you know you have some good characters. The other thing that shocked me and, it really actually shocked me because you don't see this happen in Hollywood blockbusters is the gore. Now, I'm so used to them dumbing everything down, giving it a PG rating and really, deactivating the gore. But in this, in the Predator, man, it has some fucking stakes to it. There was a lot of kills, and for the most part, it looked great. You know what's funny is everyone knows what the Predator looks like unmasked. He has those big mandibles, but he does something with those mandibles in his movie that I've never even thought of, and it made me slap myself in the head and go, why didn't I ever think that he would do that? And it was, I fucking loved it. If you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, the other thing that for a little bit made me enjoy this film were some of the jokes. I'm telling you right now, this movie is filled to the brim with fucking jokes. And this is where it kind of hits the line of my dislikes as well. Some of the jokes made me laugh. Thomas Jane's character with the Tourette's, my God, he had me in stitches. Him and Keegan-Michael Key's character, them together were just a hoot and a holler. I loved it. But this is where we start heading into the dislikes of the movie, because all I see now when I see a Hollywood blockbuster film is them trying to make it too comical, and a lot of times it just doesn't work, and it's really cringeworthy. Let me give you an example of a joke that was in this movie that's too cringeworthy. Alright, now before I do that, I need to give you a backstory on one of the characters. His middle name is Gaylord. Alright, I remember when I was in year 6 at school and the word Gaylord was funny. And here we are in 2018 with a fucking Predator movie and we're trying to go back to primary school. Character 1 says, "Can I interest you in getting the fuck out of here?" Character 2 says, "Getting the fuck out of here is my middle name." Then character 1 says, "And I thought Gaylord was bad." No, it's not even funny, Predator. Don't even fucking laugh. That's fucking primary school humor right there. And that's not even the worst joke in this movie. So that's where we start with the dislikes in this movie, right? Then we go what I said with the editing and the little scene at the start with the bad editing. It doesn't follow through the movie, but there are glimpses of it, especially in some fight scenes where I was like, are you fucking serious? Stop cutting the scenes up. It's really annoying. I hate when movies do that because it makes me dizzy watching it because you're all over the place. You can't really follow what's happening. So the effects were a bit of editing was a bit of a letdown. Right, now we're going to hit the point where I'm going to start to get cranky, because this is where they really fucked up. The effects. Jesus fucking Christ. Now, it's not a spoiler to tell you right now that there's two Predators in this film. I mean, it's in the trailers, it's all over the TV and everything like that. We have one Predator who is reminiscent of the original Predator films, the one that we've seen a lot. Who looks good? I'm guessing it's a man in the suit. He's not my problem. The problem is with this big fuck-off one, the Super Ultra Predator, which is a ridiculous fucking name. Are you kidding me? The Super Ultra Predator? My God. From what I gathered, complete CGI. And it's not even in the realms of good CGI. It's nowhere near it. From what I saw, this Predator looked like a fucking toad on steroids. Jesus H. Christ, he looks horrible. What, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. There's CGI all through this film. Bad CGI. A big blockbuster and a franchise like Predator deserves better. You know what's funny? The original fucking Predator in 1987, that's 31 years old this year. It looks 10 times as better as this one. How does that make sense? How do people think? Jesus Christ. This movie, it had a cheapness to it. It felt like Fox clearly didn't know whether they wanted to invest enough to keep the Predator series alive. It felt TV cringeworthy. It shouldn't happen. It should not happen in a Predator movie. A big blockbuster. It really shouldn't happen. And then there's the story, right? I'm going to admit, the story, at times, it lost me. I was dumbfounded. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? What's happening? And then there's other aspects of the stories that had me rolling my eyes. I'm sick of the same old Hollywood bullshit storylines happening over and over again. Not to spoil any other movie, but it's happened a few times this year, where you have the enemy, and you're fighting the enemy, and then a bigger enemy comes, and then that's your main thing. I'm so fucking sick of that. It pisses me off. It's a tired story. And the other thing that pisses me off is when you don't explain something. Now, I don't need everything fucking... I'm not an idiot. I don't need everything handed to me on a silver platter. But, okay, before I say this, do not get this mixed up for me being sexist. But there is a woman character, Olivia Munn's character, who is a school science biology teacher who, in the third act, becomes a complete badass and who knows how to use a assault rifle and a fucking sniper rifle and all that stuff. Now, it's not my problem isn't the fact that she's a woman. No, women can do what men can do fine. That's good. My problem is that she's a school science teacher and then, out of nowhere, can just pick up an assault rifle and know how to use it. Now, here in Australia, assault rifles aren't exactly accessible, and look, I don't know. I wouldn't know where the fuck to get one. And if I did know where to get one, I wouldn't know. I'm telling you right now, if I picked it up, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it. Yeah, I've seen movies, I know how to pull the trigger, but reloading and all that shit, no, I wouldn't know what to do. Maybe in America it's different, I don't know, but I'm guessing that a normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill woman isn't going to know how to use an assault rifle. Alan, help me out here. You would know better than I do. But yeah, that shit, like, all you have to do is just nod and say that she was an ex-military person. Fine. That's cool, alright? But yeah, that really took me out. It's just like, okay, spoilers for the movie Rampage. The Rock's character in Rampage was a scientist for the most part, I believe. Something to do with that. And then at the end of the movie, he's fucking scaffolding buildings like a pro and knows how to do everything. Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me? It's bad. It's bad, man. Look, this movie, The Predator, kind of, I have the same feelings as I have with Freddy vs. Jason, in the fact where I can go on and on and on about the problems I have with this film, but at the end of the day, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to remember the jokes and the fun times that I had with it, the gore, and that's what annoys me, because this movie could have been fucking great. This was directed by Shane Black, right? Now, if you don't know that name, Shane Black is, he's directed some movies, Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, The Nice Guys and all that stuff. But the thing is, Shane Black was in the original Predator film. He played Hawkins. the guy with the glasses who says all the vagina jokes and all that stuff. The funny thing is that he also has a credit for writing the original Predator film. And then he goes on to make this monstrosity. Like, fuck me dead. And look, I don't want to sit here and blame Shane Black, because I feel like this had a lot of studio involvement into it, especially in the third act. I know there was a scene cut in this movie because something had to do with a sexual offender or something like that. So I know that happened. But you can clearly see that there were parts of this movie that were cut too short, especially the ending. Now, let me get to the ending right now. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I want to let you know that it is the biggest fish hook to a sequel I've ever come across. Not only that, when the credits rolled, me and the other three guys that I was with all got up and we were like, I think all three of us were like, so that ending, right? And we were all in agreement that it was fucking stupid. If this is how the Predator series is going to continue, then count me out. I'm not on board. It's fucking stupid. I'm going to say too much. I advise everyone right now, my recommendation is that you should all go see this at the cinemas, because what my views are might be completely different to yours. You might walk out of this movie having a blast. And hey, I see people having a lot of fun with this movie. I really do. But to me, because Predator is one of my favorite characters of all time, I want a bit more respect done with the character and the franchise as a whole. To me, this one is the worst out of the sequels. Out of the whole franchise, actually. And when I say franchise, I mean Predator, Predator 2, Predators. I don't include the Alien vs. Predator. But if I'm going to be frank, this is probably, if we're going to include the Alien vs. Predator films, then I'm going to probably put this second last. AVP Requiem hits the bottom of that. I'm going to give this movie a 6 out of 10. A 6 out of 10, I feel it's fair. It has its problems, but for the most part, it has some fun, some enjoyment in the film that I feel like a few people can get involved with. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not going to say, no, this is bullshit, it's a fucking 1 out of 10. No, because it does some good things right. But this is a movie, for me, that should have been hitting a 9 or higher. When I see Predator, the Predator character alone is easily an 8. An 8 out of 10. But then you have the story, and that should bump it up to a 10. But not with this fucking frog on steroids. My God, what a fucking piece of shit. Yeah, look. Go and check the film out for yourself. I highly suggest you all do that. Make up your own minds. That's what I'm saying right now. So that's my review on The Predator from this year. Now, we're going to take a break for a second while I reevaluate my head and trying to get into the mindset of talking about something a bit more enjoyable. So we're going to hit it off with a song. And this song is something I pulled off YouTube where, I don't know who's done it, but they've done a fucking great job. Basically, they've taken the first Predator movie and done it in a musical, pretty much. So you have, like, the characters of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mac and all those stuff singing their lines. It's a fucking good time. So enjoy that, and we'll be back to dive deep into the Predator. The Predator franchise, I mean.
It's using the trees, watching and waiting, killing us off one by one. The chopper is close, but this thing is too fast. We won't make it, it's pointless to run. Talk. No more games.
I don't know what it was. The jungle came alive.
Go on.
It happened very fast. Not easy to describe. But you must have wounded it, unless my eyes deceive. When the big man was killed, its blood was on the leaves.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. She discovered the key. There is proof we can wound it. So repeat after me.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Here now, take a stand.
Here now, take a stand.
We can bring down this bastard.
We can bring down this bastard.
If we stick to the plan.
If it bleeds,
we can kill it.
Something's out there.
With three men out there at the most, am I the only one who's awake? I don't believe in goblins or ghosts. Fucking listen, give me a break.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
An expendable asset.
Yeah, now take a stand.
I won't look, why don't you?
So instead of complaining,
your bullshit's not gonna work.
You should
work.
Give us a hand.
I got nothing better to do.
I saw it, goddammit. Those eyes, they disappeared. It cut down my friend and it ran while I emptied that gun. If it bleeds,
I saw it.
I saw it, goddammit.
Stop shaving, you don't have a beard.
That thing will come back, and when it does, I'm gonna have me some fun.
If it bleeds,
I'm gonna have me some fun.
If it bleeds,
if it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
We can pull out the wind.
We can pull out the wind.
Set a trap for the monster.
Set a trap for the monster.
While we still have our skin.
While we still have our skin.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Three men out there.
I believe it can fall. When you're feeling down hard, just remember the call. We can kill it. If it bleeds, I can kill it. Now it's all up to me. Mud all over my body, so the bastard can't see. It's a solo campaign now. Get revenge for my name. Hawkins, Mac, and Ramirez. Billy, Dylan, and Plain.
Whoever makes this shit is a fucking legend, to be honest. They obviously have too much time on their hands, but thank you, whoever who did that. It's so much fun. Alright, so we're here to dive deep into the Predator mythos and find out who they are and all these stories about them, because, quite frankly, I find this shit really interesting, and I know a few people out there will too. So, let's talk about the Predators. Who are they? We know them from the film, we know what they look like, we know that they're hunters, but really, who are they? Now, someone has taken, I don't actually know, has taken time to write novels and comics and actually give a backstory to the Predator and where they came from, the world that they came from, and actually give them a name. They're not called the Predators, they're called the Yautja. Yautja. It's spelt Yautja. Yautja. So they're known as predators or hunters and are an extraterrestrial species characterized by their hunting on other dangerous species for sport and honor, including humans. Now, referred to once as xenopredators, which is funny. Now, they're capable of interstellar travel in starships. The predators have hunted on Earth for centuries and have also had prior contact with the engineers, which is portrayed in one of the comics. Now, you remember the engineers from Prometheus, which is a prequel to the Alien franchise. They have also been known to deliberately breed xenomorphs in order to hunt them, often as part of initial rituals for young predators, which we have seen in Alien vs. Predator. Now, here's something funny about their blood, the Predator's blood. Now, we all remember that it's lime green in colour, but it has the capacity to partially neutralise the acidicity of xenomorph blood. How cool's that? It has also been known to bestow the significant life-giving properties on humans, capable of extending a person's lifespan well beyond what would normally be possible. I kind of wish that they brought that into the movies. Look, there's so already right now, there is so much more they could have done in Aliens vs. Predator with the blood and all that stuff. We'll continue. It is thought the Yautja may be cold-blooded, cold-blooded, sorry, hence their documented affinity for hot, humid conditions and the thermal netting built into their suits. They grow typically over 7 feet tall, but some others up to 8 feet. And they originate from a planet called Yautja Prime. 8 feet tall, man. Fucking hell. let's talk about the mask. Because this is something that I didn't know about the mask. Now, everyone remembers the mask does various things, including visions and vocal mimicry. But it also acts as a breathing apparatus. Now, predators live on a planet with less oxygen and more nitrogen, and as a result, they're capable of adapting themselves to Earth's atmosphere for roughly a week if deprived of a breathing apparatus. Now, you'll remember in the original Predator, when he's taken off the mask, he's got those little wind things that come out, that fly off. So that's actually kind of how we are on space. We have the space helmet. That's basically what the Predators is. I found that quite interesting. Didn't actually know that. Now, the Yautja Society operates a class of ranking system, normally based on an individual's hunting experience and prowess. So let's go into the titles, because this is pretty cool. And I'll give you examples of each Predator's class from the movies. So we start off with Unblooded. The unrefined hunters of the future. Unblooded Yautja are young Predators who haven't completed basic training. They are, or are close to, physically mature adults. Most Unblooded, and therefore subsequent classes, are male, but female hunters do exist, implying a minority of them within the hunting body. Now, there have been, in comics, female hunters, and they have tits. I was going to say something, but maybe I shouldn't. We'll continue. Youngblood. This is the next class up. Young adults Yautja who have yet to be seen as men and true hunters in the eyes of the clanmates. These hunters are refined enough to overpower a skilled human fighter. However, their skill against a xenomorph varies. Once they kill one, Yautja marks themselves with xenomorph blood, completing their initiation into adulthood. So you would have seen one of... They're the three who start the movie off in Aliens vs. Predator. Then we go into Blooded. Now, these Yautja successfully killed their first xenomorph and given it such a broad title. Skills vary. Once a Yautja is blooded, females will begin to pay him mind and his rank could divide into a more specific role. So those include the surviving aliens from Aliens vs. Predator and the original Predator. So there you go. Now, females like the look of him. Then we jump up to Elite. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because Elites encompass the more dangerous of the Yautja race. They have the skill to take on several xenomorphs at once, including large, dangerous castes like Praetorians, Pred-Aliens, and even Queens. I know how to say those things because I played the games. Only rank this if they capture the skull of an alien queen. Now, that's Aliens vs. Predator 2, Requiem. That's what he is. He's a Elite. Then we jump up into Leader. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, and this is what I found actually really cool. And I would love... This is where they should hit the movie. They want to do an Aliens vs. Predator 3. They can do it good. I know they can. And this is where they could do it. Leader. Leader is an ambiguous rank in the Yautja Society. A leader could control a clan, fellow packmates on a hunt, or simply a troop of students. These leaders are clan leaders, hunting captain, and just leader, respectively. Now, the only way to become a clan leader is to clean out an entire xenomorph hive consisting of over 300 members, with a maximum of 2 other predators to assist. Now, to be able to attempt to become a clan leader, each member of the group of predators must have acquired 3 alien queen skulls each. See, that's something that they could play with a bit more in the Aliens franchise. Keep the people out of it. We really don't need the people in it. I mean, yes, for dialogue and all that stuff, but I feel like when you go into an Alien or a Predator movie, no one gives a fuck about the human, besides the death part of it. No one cares. We just want to see the aliens fight. That's all. Give it to us. Let's see a fucking story about a predator group going in to be a leader, killing a hive of aliens. Now, the next one is The Elder. The older, wiser members of the Yautja race, many of them are clan leaders. Two elders have been seen on screen thus far, and both have gifted non-predator species with mementos of a good hunt. Now, for example, the end of Predator 2, where that elder predator gave Danny Glover the gun. That was an elder. Then we jump up into Ancient. Now, Ancient is like the last class that you can have. The Ancients are very old Yautja, some of which are responsible for creating the laws by which the species abide. To this, they use enforcers to put an end to crime, both within and without the species. So that's basically the classes of predators you have, but there's also one more which is entitled the Bad Bloods. Now, these are predators who are criminals. They have been sentenced to death, but have managed to escape. There's very few on this in the predator world, but they're out there. One would even say, and there's a fan theory, we'll get into fan theories later, but I'll jump in this one right now. There's a fan theory out there that says the original Predator from 1987 was a Bad Blood, and that's the reason why he was on Earth by himself. Interesting concept, and who's to say that's not true? Now, the Yautja have a code of honor that expects all members of its species to adhere to, on the pain of not being seen as a true Yautja, and therefore subject to being destroyed. This code is a set of rules that govern day-to-day interactions of Yautja, as well as the hunt. It details under what circumstances a hunter may kill a creature of another species, and under what circumstances they may not. Now, the code is strict, and to break it purposefully, accidentally, or even unwillingly is near irredeemable offense in many situations. Only very ranked seasoned warriors or very low ranked novices such as young bloods or unblooded Yautja are allowed any wiggle room as far as the code is concerned. All hunters are expected to hunt and kill while adhering the code and transitions. Failure to do so marks a Yautja a bad blood. He is then exiled from society and considered fair game for other honorable hunters. Some predators are specifically tasked with hunter down code breakers, called arbitrators. Now, we may see an arbitrator in this new Shane Black film. So let's talk about the code, because let's get deep into the code, the actual rules of it. So the first rule is hunting worthy game. When hunting, the hunter must be sure that his prey is considered game and lawful to kill. Sometimes the hunter will equal odds, for example, not using a plasma caster or some similar range weapons. Worthy game must feel the following criteria. It can defend itself and or is able to kill the hunter himself. The age. Killing children and the elderly is considered the height of bad manners. Is that it? That's pretty funny. Not linked to other lives. So the removing the prey will not doom another. For example, a pregnant woman, as we've seen in Predator 2. And not weakened by disease. So these are the ways they can't kill. It's against their religion, basically. The next one is failing in the hunt. Should the hunter fail in one of his quests, he usually takes his own life, preferring to die in honor than to live in shame. However, some cowards prefer to live in obscurity rather than die. This is considered to be dishonorable, and suicide is then assisted by the arbitrator. Next rule is claiming the kill of another hunter. To take the trophy of another Yautja, living or dead, is considered to be a great insult. For example, two unblooded go on their first hunt. One Yautja takes on Black Death, and both moodily wanted. Now, Black Death in the comic is basically the Predator's version of the Grim Reaper. While the wounded hunter is dying, the other hunter convincingly finishes off the prey and claims the kill as his own, abandoning the wounded Yautja. This is a crime paid for the abandonment by the clan, mutineering the hunter on the world with no weapons or armor. I don't know what's worse, being left with no weapons or armor, or suicide. Oh, sorry, not suicide, or death. The murder of another Yautja. Now, to kill another Yautja intentionally, this includes self-defense and killing a foe in a wrestling match to settle a dispute. Murder is the worst crime impossible to the Yautja clan. The next one is never harm the innocent, as we've kind of touched on just a second ago. Those who have done no harm should have no harm done to them. That makes sense, and that should stay the same rules in humans. The next one is hunting for food. When hunting for food, take only the weak. This is to purify the species line. There you go. Wounded game. When coming up upon game wounded by another hunter and the prey is dying without sport, show honor to another kill. If the game still shows sport, it is to be joint trophy. Next one is joining another hunt. Do not join another's hunt or hunt in their territory without their permission. All trophies taken in this manner are stolen trophies and shall be dealt with by the rightful owner. So the next one is mercy. Those who defeat you in a fair hunt, or who are victorious in more dangerous hunts, such as a battle with an alien queen, and show you mercy, are to be considered our equals. You must either kill them and yourself, or bestow them with a reward. So, for example, Danny Glover's character in Predator 2. Code violations. Those who break the codes are renegades, and no longer considered to be Yautja. They are to be destroyed when encountered. Never harm the ill or offspring. Yautja are known to have very strict laws on killing of those pregnant with infants and those who are sick. Usually when they hunt and encounter both, the Yautja is to let them live. The only expectation to the rule is if any ill prey pose a threat. For example of such thing would be when Charles Bishop Whalen set fire to the predator known as Scar in Alien vs. Predator, causing the latter to retaliate and kill him. Although that applies to the ill, Yautja are to never kill those who are bearing children, even if they are armed. One example of this is with Yautja known as the City Hunter, as encountered by Leona Cattrell from Predator 2. We all know that. He saw the character of Leona and didn't kill her, but she went into shock, basically because of the look of the predator, because he's an ugly motherfucker. When in duel with an enemy, you must reveal yourself. In the novelization of AVP, Lex Woods was about to be killed by a cloaked predator. However, before it prepared to deliver the final blow, it deactivated its cloak. Now, according to the book, it is hunting ethic to reveal yourself to the enemy at the climax of the fight. So that's the code of the predators, and that's basically who the predators are, where they're from, where they come from, and all that stuff. Interesting stuff. Now, the funny thing is, I got this from a website, and this was only a smidgen of things on the website. This website went into everything, from predators' weapons to predators' spaceships, basically everything. So if you want more information on the Yautja, you can have a look at that. But the episode's not over yet, because I want to dive into fan theories of the movies. Basically, what fans thought happened after the films are finished, or during the films. Now, I will have to say right now that these may include spoilers to the previous films. The first one is a spoiler to the original film. If you have not seen the original Predator, get the fuck off this podcast and go and watch it, because you are doing something wrong with your life. I'll tell you that much, sir. The first fan theory is the Predator lets Dutch escape on purpose at the end of the film. That's interesting. Why? So let's go into it. Any Predator fan worth their salt remembers the original film ends with the Predator blowing himself up with an alien arm bomb. Yes, we remember that. We heard the laugh before. Rather than being a sore loser, however, he's actually applauding Dutch by killing himself. That's because there's such an emphasis put on the Predator's countdown. It can only mean the alien is letting Dutch know what's up. And rather than that laugh being a gesture meant to taunt Dutch, it is the only way the creature can tell his human adversary he's a worthy opponent. That's an interesting look into the finale of Predator. And I don't know what I would rather go with. I like that. I like that he's applauding. And if we're going back to the code, the Predator code, I can see that actually being a true thing. But when you watch the original Predator, it's very likely that the Predator is also laughing to say, I'm killing us both now. Really up to interpretation with that one. This next one is a bit more silly, and one that I can't ever see him being proved, because it involves another alien species, and no, I'm not talking about the Xenomorph. This one is entitled, The Alien from The Thing Stole a Predator's Ship. So how did the alien from 2011's The Thing get to Earth? Whoever wrote this is a complete idiot, because they shouldn't write 2011's. I know that's the prequel, but come on. Someone believes that the alien made its way onto the Yautja ship en route to Antarctica for a hunt and killed everyone on board. They think that after the alien takes over the Yautja, it ended up encased in ice and it took the team of scientists to restart its reign on destruction. Interesting, interesting look on the Thing versus the Predator, which I don't see the Predators faring in this war. Sorry. I don't feel that that would be a real thing. I'm not a fan of that one. This next one, though. This next one, I'm a bit more of a fan about. This one is entitled, Predator and Terminator Are in the Same World. Interesting, you have me intrigued, alright. Let's go on with it. Now, the theory, which relies on comic book adaptations, movie novelizations, and a wild Easter egg from the 1994 arcade game, first made the rounds in mid-2017. Yeah, only last year. In 1987's Predator, Dutch and a group of towering beef castles, which has written here, that's strange, were sent by the CIA into the jungles of Val Verde, a fictional South American country, in order to retrieve intelligence from a slaughtered military unit. What follows is a waking nightmare as the team is picked off by the Predator, using its cloaking technology and thermal imaging to murder the team one by one. Now the film ends with the Predator blowing himself to smithereens and Dutch getting to the chopper to presumably live on and fight another day. But what happened to Dutch after that? Now this theory turns to Predator film novelizations, which claim that he suffered radiation poisoning from the gigantic explosion at the end of Predator, which of course did have the big mushroom cloud, so it's very possible. The Dark Horse comic series have featured Dutch's brother trying to suss out what happened to his surly sibling, but to no avail, as he has seemingly disappeared. Perhaps this was because the government, and more specifically, the OWLF, which is O-W-L-F, stands for the Other World Life Form Task Force, wanted to figure out how Dutch managed to beat a Predator in the first place, and why they would want to transform him into a cyborg super soldier to fight on the frontiers of the intergalactic conflicts to come. So, how does this all connect to the Terminator? The answer lies in the serial number. In Capcom's 1994 Aliens vs. Predator arcade game, in which humans and predators team up to take down an infestation of deadly xenomorphs, predators can assume the roles of two predators. Players can assume the role of two predators, a hunter and a warrior, as well as two cyborg soldiers, Lieutenant Lin Kwaja, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, sorry, and Major Duff Schaefer. According to the game's official description, Major Duff Schaefer is a cyborg created to fight extraterrestrials. He lost his right arm in the Second Alien War, and has since had it replaced with a smart gun rig. He lives only to avenge himself against the aliens. In the game, Dutch's serial number is listed as CDS-170A3. A seemingly innocuous detail, until you remember what CDS could stand for. Cyberdyne Systems. The name of the company responsible for creating Skynet, and in turn, unwittingly unleashed the robot apocalypse in the form of Terminators. Now, that's a bit of a stretch right there. But whoever created that, pretty creative, I've got to tell you right now. And that would be a fun look. That's something that I've always wanted to see, the Predator versus the Terminator. I would love to see that match. I always was on board for the Terminator to win, but apparently, according to the Terror Dome, the Terminator can't beat Pyramid Head. So who knows who would win that match? So let's get into some real stories of the Predator. Stories that have been brought to us by books and novelizations and comics and all that stuff. This one, I've got three here for you, okay? This one is a spoiler alert to Predator 2. If you haven't seen Predator 2 out there, this is going to spoil the ending to it. So I apologize. I'll give you 2 seconds right now to pause this before I go into it. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, 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 bum. All right, your time's up. So, for you people out there, you would have remembered the ending of Predator 2 with Danny Glover. I am struggling to remember his character's name right now, so I'm just going to call him Danny Glover. Him battling the Predator in the Predator spaceship, and he smacks him with the disc, and the Predator dies. And then Danny Glover is met with the group of Predators, which is led by the Elder. Now, in this other story of Predator 2, Danny Glover and the Predator are fighting. Danny Glover gets the upper hand, but the Predator doesn't die. What happens next is the group of Predators led by the Elder come forward, and because the Predator has failed to win his fight, the Elder Predator then goes on to kill the Predator. Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that one. I feel like I kind of wouldn't mind seeing that on screen. If you don't know the code of honor, it would have been a head scratcher. A lot of people would have been thinking, why did that happen? That's weird. This next one though, is a lot more interesting, and it's revolves around what happens at the end of Predator 2, how the Elder gives Danny Glover the flintlock pistol. If you remember that, the Elder Predator comes forward and gives Danny Glover the pistol, and Danny Glover looks at the pistol and sees it's from 300 years ago. Now, according to the comic released in 1996, called Predator 1718, that pistol originally belonged to a pirate captain called Raphael Adelini, who at one point met the same Predator Glover did and gave it to him as a gift. According to that same comic, the Predator had deemed Adelini to be a worthy opponent and watched him stab his way across the West Indies and had planned on challenging him to a fistfight. Moving on, unbeknownst to the Predator, Adelini was right in the middle of dealing with a mutiny because he told his men that they weren't allowed to steal gold from a church, proving that he's a man of integrity but a pretty shitty pirate. When the Predator sees that Adelini is about to be stabbed like 80 times in the face, he pulls out a bitching sword and heroically leaps to the aid so that he can team up and take out the pirate's former crew. Now, the Predator and Adelini are able to communicate and stand back to back while murdering the fuck out of Adelini's former crew. Once this is done, the Predator then assumes the battle stance and challenges the pirate to an honorable duel to the death. Adelini cleans the blood of his sores and assumes the same fighting pose. However, before Adelini is allowed to bludgeon the pirate to death, he is hit in the back with a bullet fired from a sole survivor of the slaughter. After mortally wounding Adelini, the crew member is almost immediately blasted into human jelly by the Predator, who is rightfully pissed that he took away one hell of a fight. To thank the Predator for almost saving his life and being an honorable foe, Adelini gives its prized flintlock pistol. The Predator, clearly touched by Adelini's actions, gives him a warrior's funeral and leaves behind its sword made of world-changing material right next to 80 dead pirates and a box full of gold. So that's basically what happened in the comics. The thing is, the only reason this story didn't end up being in the movie was because the right holders of the Predator franchise couldn't figure out a way to make it work as a film. You see, the entire reason Glover's character is given the pistol at the end of the Predator 2 is because the screenwriters wanted to set a sequel in the past and needed to include something that established that the Predator race had been dicking around on Earth for centuries. While it's not clear if the movie would have involved Predators fighting pirates, it would have almost certainly involved them fighting a group of people who didn't have access to modernly weaponry, and thus had to combat the Predators using their wits and integrity like Schwarzenegger did in the first Predator movie. This is something that the Predator franchise needs. This most recent film isn't a story that I was a fan of, as you heard. I want something a little bit different. Now what happened in the original Predator, why it succeeded so much, is because the story was simple. They had the Predator, his hunt objective was simple, he went out and he did it. And that's what we need from a Predator sequel. Why not have a Predator prequel? Like what happened to that Predator. Have the Predator Elders story. Go back in time to see how he took on other foes. There's so much you could do. Have Predator versus the Vikings. Predator versus the Nazis, which would be different. I couldn't see it working. But even if you brought it up to today's standards, Predators versus the terrorists. Something along that lines. But would have America up in arms. The one thing that I would like is at the end of Predator 2, you have the spaceship and you see the wall of skulls. You have the Xenomorph skull and you have all these other monsters. I want to see the story of those other monsters. Predators fighting the other monsters. Because there are skulls of monsters there that looked interesting. And you could expand this universe into a huge, huge thing. Fuck the Marvel universe. Fuck the Conjuring universe. I want the Predator universe. The monsters universe failed, so let's have the Predator universe. You could bring up different monsters, different aliens into this universe. Why not? There is a fan film on YouTube called Predator Dark Ages, which does take it back to medieval times. And this is something, even though it's a fan film, this is something that if every Predator fan needs to watch, because it's well done, it's well made, and this is exactly where the franchise needs to be taken. Predator Dark Ages. Search it up on YouTube. It's incredible. Another to almost wrap this episode up, another story, another story ending, which I'm not a fan of straight up. This was stupid. At the end of the 2010 Predators, you have spoilers for the ending of 2010 Predators. You had the remaining survivalists standing there, and it basically just fades to black, whatever. But in this other one, you have the spaceship pull up, and these two remaining humans are banged up from their fight, and they've just got nothing left in the tank. And then it's revealed that there's these Predators who just undo their cloaking and appear themselves, and they bring these two remaining humans onto the ship. And these humans just can't do anything. They're done. They're out. And they bring it to meet the Elder. And the Elder gets up off his crown, his big-ass seat, and he walks over to the humans. He then proceeds to take off his helmet, and it is revealed as Dutch from the first film. This is this was a story that was actually animated, and you can check it up on YouTube right now. With voices and everything like that. Interesting look into it, but I don't really understand why Dutch would join the Predators. It doesn't make sense, and I would not be a fan if that's how Predators did end. So that's, yeah, that's something silly. But that has basically been everything I can say about the Predator series right now. My mouth is dry as a fucking nun's asshole. So this is where I let the episode finish and be done with. But I can't just leave you to go off like that. No, we always finish the episode with a song. Usually a album recommendation, but this one I'm going to leave it with a song. Just like the song you heard in the middle, this one is another parody song. This one is a bit funnier, in my opinion, though. And whoever makes this is a fucking genius. I love him. This one is, the title on YouTube is Arnold Schwarzenegger Sings the Predator Theme, but that's not what it is. In fact, it's a, it's a cover of Phil Collins' song Billy, but it's done by Dutch, and, it goes on about his story with the Predator. It's a lot of fun. I find it hilarious. But that's the song I'm going to leave off with this episode. But I want to thank you all for joining me on episode 50. I'm a bit chuffed about that. But we'll be back next week. Look, guys, I don't know if it's going to be with Ben or if it's going to be with me again, but you'll get something next week. I can guarantee you that. But we thank you all. Please check us out on the Padded Room Network. Remember to give those 5-star ratings. It helps us a lot, man. We all three shows put a lot of effort into this. And just one little review that will take 5 seconds out of your time means a lot to us. We really appreciate it. But until next time, I have been Tim. I hope you enjoyed this Predator rundown and look through. Once again, go check out the new movie. Your views might be completely different from my views. I'm just saying that right now. What I hate might be something that you love. Who knows? Okay? Like, I hate Phantasm, but Miss Monica from Padded Room loves the Tall Man. It's weird. I don't know why. But anyway, this has been episode 50. I am Tim from Horror for Dummies, and I'll leave you off with this cool, rad song. Take it away, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dip!
Behind, looking for Hop all around. Nobody knew where to find him. Only skinned bodies were found. It doesn't make sense. I heard Dylan cry, and I believed him. Well, that pencil Porsche had a setup all along. It's gonna kill us off one by one. Billy, Billy, don't you lose that Predator, 'cause it's not anywhere that I can find it. Oh, now Billy, Billy, don't you lose that Predator, 'cause if it bleeds, then we can kill it. Oh, hunting through the jungle and into the night, he killed my friends and took their heads. We knew that this was our last stand. It was really do or die. Get to the chopper, I yelled and shout. Then I fell in mud. With this old mud, they couldn't even see me. Time to kick his ass tonight. Go on now, Billy, Billy, don't you lose that Predator, 'cause it's not anywhere that I can find it. Oh, now Billy, Billy, don't you lose that Predator, 'cause if it bleeds, then we can kill it. Oh, stick around, I'll find him, I'll kill him. Don't give up, Billy, just put down your knife. I tricked him, got stuck in my trap again. Now he's dead. Oh, Billy, you coulda, you shoulda, you woulda got to the chopper.